3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Welcome to another exciting episode of NIDS Knowledge, a weekly show of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies, where we are advancing peace, promoting stability, and helping you to think deterrence. Each week, we inform you about a deterrence topic and its value in preserving peace. We hope you enjoy this show.
Hello, everybody. Today, for my second NIDS Knowledge podcast on different aspects of leadership and nuclear weapons, I'm asking you to risk your next few minutes listening to some thoughts on culture, as I see culture relating to nuclear alert missions, a little philosophy, and some stories. If you find any value in my experience, I hope it helps you on your own journey. Quick story. Sometime early in my tenure as the inaugural A-10 on the Air Staff, still trying to right the nuclear enterprise after epic institutional failure, I was invited down to Maxwell Air Force Base for a couple of different activities. One that I had not anticipated was receiving a presentation on organizational culture. The slide deck included a number of cultural alternatives. It was as if I was being walked down an aisle in a supermarket, looking on the shelves in order to choose the culture with the attributes to fit an emergent Air Force nuclear enterprise. I cut the meeting short. I don't look at culture as an objective end state to be pursued. I see culture as a reflection of performance expectations and enforced standards. In other words, culture to me is a derivative of how an organization values mission execution and how it cares for its members. Every organization has a culture, and many are places I would never want to be a part of. Hell's Angels has a culture. But if you have been blessed the number of times I have been, knowing and feeling you are part of a team that is hitting on all cylinders, in a place you look forward to showing up every day, and you feel responsible to not let your teammates down, you know that is special. The linchpin that drives the conditions that result in a high-performing unit or a poor-performing unit is the leader. It's leaders at multiple levels who ensure that you are trained, who help set conditions for you to achieve and maintain proficiency, who show they believe in you and promote your advancement inside your unit and beyond, and who hold you accountable to standards. In a nuclear alert force unit, where hundreds of common tasks are performed every day, where achieving all the right outcomes is not just expected, but necessary for successfully deterring on Tuesday, and where you always have a teammate by your side, but no additional supervision looking over your shoulders often, there needs to be a special sauce. That special sauce is a heightened capacity to be self-critical. You have to set the conditions to make the special sauce. For example, it's important to understand the why behind tasks and procedures. Instructors need to teach the whys to provide greater depth of understanding. Individuals need to take the initiative to understand how teams outside your unit contribute directly to mission success. Another Alston story about better integrated thinking about the mission. After a series of vehicle accidents across the largest missile complex in the missile fleet, we established a daily briefing to focus on safety. One of the common threads in each of these accidents was they were all coming home. So we had three back-to-back-to-back in relative close proximity to each other. But it was all coming home. So it's like there was a special sense of urgency to get home, and perhaps there were more risks being taken in order to get home. So after a series of these accidents, I established that we would all meet together every day for a daily briefing where we could manage that risk as a group. And so the leadership had to brief not only who was driving and responsible to get folks safely to the location in the field, but who was going to be on point to drive home and why were they the right person to have that responsibility. And of course, driving millions of miles is a job requirement in an ICBM unit. So it was a safety briefing, if you will, for the wing leadership. But over time, what we got out of the event was far more than just a safety assessment, because certain units had responsibilities on the base and in the field. But, you know, nobody had more experience driving to the field than, you know, missile maintainers, for example. And they had ways to mitigate risk that folks that didn't have that depth of experience never would have thought of. And so this crosstalk across the wing, if you will, at this briefing every day, it taught everybody better just how a nuclear alert unit runs. And in turn, they each could better understand how their critical role fit in our daily success. Enhancing those things that fortify a culture that elevates being self-critical was my top priority as the 20th Air Force Commander. Another take on culture relevant to the nuclear alert force. Part of my personal cosmic makeup is that I always knew I was standing on the shoulders of giants. But for some reason, I woke up every day assuming that they may not have gotten everything right. My final story for today. There's a certain rhythm in a weapon storage area at a nuclear alert force base. One evening, a special multipurpose vehicle was returning to the area, and the driver got a bit distracted by the fact that it was dusk, there were flashing security lights, and he misjudged clearing the gate, and the vehicle incurred some damage. It turns out it was the driver's first mission. Well, that's okay. Everybody has to have a first time. But it turns out his partner in the cab, well, it was his first mission too. Two guys who never did this before, out on the road together? How do we plan for these missions? It turns out the criteria for selection that we had at the time is that if you've driven this type of vehicle around town and to and from the missile complex about maybe three dozen times, you were assessed as being ready to perform this special mission. This was inadequate for me. So besides changing the planning to ensure we paired experience with inexperience, we also instituted a certification process to provide leadership an intimate personal opportunity to impress upon those about to shoulder this greater responsibility just how different the job was, how much leadership cared about their success, and how much successful, credible deterrence depended on them. You can never have too many opportunities to connect people with their role in our national security. So my two nuclear alert force leadership thoughts for this podcast. One, you want a self-critical culture. How you incentivize behaviors that encourage being self-critical and how you reinforce your values that support mission execution and the development of your people are keys to getting there. And two, we've always done it this way. Does not reflect a self-critical culture and is not compelling risk management guidance. Processes are always worth a critical evaluation. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to NIDS Knowledge. This show is produced under the NIDS Podcasting Network, a division of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. NIDS is a 501c3 organization dependent upon donations to provide this podcast and bring about awareness of the peacekeeping value of U.S. strength and our national deterrence. You can catch all of our podcasts or provide feedback at thinkdeterrence.com. I would like to thank our producer, Kimberly Charrington, our sponsors, and all the fantastic members of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies for making this podcast possible. Stay tuned next week for another exciting and informative NIDS Knowledge.
A production of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies.